Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download it, you look for WILK News Radio, you favorite us, and that's it. You got us. That's all you got to do. 66 degrees here at 410 on this Thursday, May 8th, 2025. And it's always good to bring in our county, well, one of our county commissioners, Commissioner Chris Chermak. Commissioner, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show.
Absolutely.
So, a couple of things. Has there been any update from the courts on our missing county commissioner? Are we going to have someone in place anytime soon? Because we have a pope now, and you know the running.
Yeah, we have a pope.
The running joke was we will have a pope before we have a new Lackawanna County commissioner.
Yeah, well, sadly, we kind of all knew that would happen. No update. I haven't heard a thing from the courts. So we're waiting on the decision from the senior judges to decide what process they're going to follow, and then we'll go from there. So I don't know. It's unbelievable, but I don't know yet.
Now, does the resignation of the court clerk of court that just happened, that kind of falls into the same process here? Does that kind of fall into this now?
Well, so yeah, it will, because now they're going to be looking at what procedures to follow. So if they set the precedent one way or the other, they're going to have to follow the same for this new position to fill Mari's spot. So, yeah, I'm sure they're thinking about all this, and I'm sure did not expect that one. So, you know, they're going to have to make a decision soon here. You know, the county's functioning. Like, this is what they said in the hearing. You know, the attorneys for Gaughan said the county's functioning and, you know, there's no issues. Well, the county's functioning because Commissioner Chermak is agreeing to pass things and put things through so the county doesn't falter and we pay our bills and do and operate as normal as we can. But, you know, when we get to this point where there's a budget, it's not going to function normally because I'm not approving a budget that I don't like.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're going to get into some of the things that happened yesterday in a second. And before I get to this great event that you're holding on Monday, and that's the primary reason, you know, we wanted to get you on today. About reassessments. You're gonna have a town hall on reassessments, but I'm gonna hold it there because I've been made aware of, and I believe you're aware of, an issue that took place up at the 911 center where these informal appeals were happening with Tyler Technology, where appointments were made, people took off from work, rearranged their schedule to be there. And while they're sitting there waiting, representatives from Tyler Technology, a county contractor that's doing this reassessment process, said, "I'm sorry, all the meetings today have to be canceled because we don't have a sheriff here today. And we need a sheriff here if we're going to hold these meetings for safety purposes." And listen, I can understand that. But a little more research into it, they made it sound like, well, the sheriff just didn't show up today. The deputy sheriff's not here. You know, we don't know. We have to cancel these meetings. Well, it turns out that from the sheriff that they were not even scheduled to be up there by Tyler Technologies. So what's going on with this process?
Well, that's a question that I have. They keep me out of the loop, so I have no idea why the sheriff wasn't notified that we needed them there. As far as I was under the impression that they knew the schedule and they were going to be there the entire time. So why they weren't there the other day or multiple days, didn't show up in the morning. I heard the one day they showed up a little, like a half an hour later. Maybe they got called, you know, but why it happened, couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you. This is the stuff that I deal with every single day. I find out after the fact all the time. So, you know, I have no control over it, unfortunately.
And
the sheriff, he's only going to do what he's told to do. If he's asked to have a deputy there, they'll be there. Just like at my event on Monday night. I asked the sheriff to put a deputy there. Absolutely not an issue. There will be one there. So it's a phone call.
Yeah, and if the sheriff's office was not contacted or scheduled to be there, then there's an issue with this paid contractor that's being paid by taxpayer dollars to do this, agreed to do these informal hearings, and you know something's falling through the cracks here. And I think that's exactly what your town hall meeting is on Monday, May 12th at 5:30. You want to tell us about this?
Yeah, so doors open at 5 p.m. The program will start at 5:30 at Lackawanna College in the auditorium on Vine Street. What the program is going to be, I'll be a panelist myself, but we're going to have three attorneys, two residential real estate attorneys, a commercial real estate attorney, and we're going to have a professional appraiser. They're going to discuss things in their field on how to go about a residential reassessment, commercial reassessment, and with the appraisal professional, give ideas and things on how you would get comparables to your property, whether it's a commercial property or a vacant lot or a house or whatever. So this is going to explain how you go through the process. And if people have questions at the end of the program, they can ask questions and hopefully get some answers from the folks on the panel. Again, it's going to be moderated by attorney Howard Rothenberg. So he'll kind of moderate the whole program. Some of my parts are going to be like things that are offered through the state and like clean and green and the homestead and things like that, and what veterans have, what are in place for veterans on disability. So, you know, there's a lot of things to learn. So hopefully it'll go well. It should be an interesting night. And I tried to even say at the commissioner meeting yesterday, this is not the opportunity to come and, you know, beat up on the county. This has nothing to do with that. This is strictly on how to navigate through a reassessment and where we are with it to date. If you want to come and complain about the reassessment, I advise everybody to come to the commissioner meetings for that. But Monday night is informational, and hopefully get some answers to folks.
Yeah, you want to get as much information for the people that are eligible for these other programs that they could reach out to, so they can do that, to make sure everyone's aware they may be eligible for this, they may be eligible for that, like you said, veterans, clean and green for, you know, people who have farmsteads and such like that, where they could take advantage of these. And again, you're 100% right. The perfect place to complain about the reassessments itself, the way it's handled. And listen, we all have, I know you do, I know I do, I know all the listeners do, about the way this is being handled, especially the news, you know, what we find out. Schuylkill County is going through and at the same place in the process as we are. They're using a different organization to do it, and they did get estimated tax rates. They said that the company that's doing it for them said, listen, this information's available. It's out there. It can be given. And I said, you know, late last week on the show, the only reason is because whoever is making this decision doesn't want to give this information. Listen, we were told one-third of the property taxes will go up. One-third will stay the same. One-third will go down. We all realize this has to be revenue neutral as far as the budget goes. So regardless if these are just estimates and there's going to be appeals and most appeals are going to go downward, it's going to change a little bit, but it still should not change that one-third, one-third, one-third. So why not give estimates out? The information's there. Other reassessment companies that have done this says, yeah, we have all that. The program's there. Everything's there. And again, it's just an estimate. And red bold print on their notices say this is only an estimate and will change. But why not give people – because maybe they look at it and say, okay, you know, the property of my value shot up a lot and it scared the hell out of me, but my taxes really aren't that bad. I think that would settle a lot of people.
Well, it certainly would for the majority of the folks out there. But I've been in communication with the commissioners in Schuylkill County, and you know, I think we could have did a similar way they did and give people at least a ballpark of what their taxes could be. And it would have put a lot of people at ease. But on the other hand, the people that are going to go up, it certainly would have, you know, spark a lot of controversy. So, you know, they probably did it for a reason, which I'm not in agreement with. So, you know, I like to be open and transparent. I don't just say it. I'd like to be open and transparent. And to me, this is not. But at any rate, we're getting closer. I still think we're rushing a little bit. I think there's things that need to be put in place. Safety measures for people on fixed incomes and the elderly and, people living on Social Security that don't have any extra income. You know, I think there's things that can be done. They're done in other counties and other areas and other states. You know, we're not reinventing the wheel. And I'm not going to approve it until I get some of the things I'm asking for. You know, because we have to, at the end of this whole thing, we have to protect the homeowners. And, you know, nobody deserves to lose a house over this process just because they waited 50-some years. That's not, it's not the residents' fault. It's the people that in charge. That's their fault.
Yeah, and I agree here, and I hope when it comes, as this moves forward, if there's not a third commissioner, you know, maybe it's time to take that harder line stance. I know you want government to operate. I know you want Lackawanna County. Yep. You want its employees to get paid. You want the process to go through, contracts to happen, and things to work as normal as it possibly could. But something like this, I don't think a lot of residents would fault you for taking a hard line stance and say, you know what, it's one and one, and I'm not voting for this right now. So unless we get some more answers, unless you become more upfront, then this doesn't move anywhere.
Correct. And that's where I choose my battles. And the little ones, you know, not so big of a deal. But when it came to last year's tax increase, I did everything humanly possible to avoid that. And as far as this reassessment, I've been, you know, I voted no to initiate it years ago. I think it was done hastily during the middle of a pandemic. I think it was poor timing. And we're rushing to the finish line here. So I'm going to be steadfast, and I'm not just going to vote for it. Absolutely not. Until I'm satisfied, and I think it's as fair as it can possibly be. But, you know, right now it's not, and I don't feel that it is. So, you know, we're just going to have to see how it progresses here.
So I have about a minute or two left, and I don't want to keep it that short, but you had your meeting yesterday and this extension of the PFM contract to move forward. I'm getting a lot of text messages. I'm getting a lot of people reaching out saying, you know, why did you vote for this? And I understand it's a grant money coming in, but listen, grant money is still taxpayer dollars. It's state taxpayer dollars. It's still our money. It's still being used for this. You know, there was a Democrat majority in the last administration that dumped a whole lot on you guys, and that includes your partner there, you know, Commissioner Bill Gaughan at this point. You know, millions of dollars of bills unpaid, things had to be done. But to keep extending this, to keep another $100,000 for this contract, you know, where are we going from here? We're supposed to have people in our government that are able to manage money, and we're supposed to hire managers in our departments that are supposed to be doing this, not paying additional hundreds of thousands of dollars for outside people to do jobs that we, in fact, should be doing.
Well, and you know what? And you're right. So, you know, I have my own finance team that basically work for free. They pointed out many of these issues over the past 6 years that PFM brought forward in their first phase. Nobody wants to listen to a thing anybody has to say. So the county's floundering. Now it's start to phase two. Where are we going to apply these cuts? What we're going to do from here? My opinion was, look at, if this is what it's going to take to finally get someone to listen, as Bill Gaughan, if he'll listen to PFM and follow what they say we have to do, then I think it's money well spent. Because otherwise, it's not going anywhere. They don't listen to anybody. But they, unless they're telling them what they want to hear. PFM seems to be doing a good job. They pointed out a lot of things. I hope in phase two, they're going to point out where we can start making cuts and saving money. That's going to benefit the taxpayers. But, you know, if I didn't vote for it, then where are we going to go? Because they certainly don't listen to me. That was the only option I have. And I thought that was my best choice to represent the taxpayers and the people here in Lackawanna County. I mean, you know, do we have to do it? Probably not. But if this is how it's going to work, then I'm going to have to go with it. And that was my reason. That was my best option. Not a great option, my best option.
Well, since this is the path that Lackawanna County has chosen to take, I would like to see, as a taxpayer of Lackawanna County, where we stand deficit-wise, and including our debt service. Because between December of 2024 and today, we've spent more money, we've taken on more debt, we're paying more in interest than we actually were in 2024, the end of 2024. So I would like to see statuses. Listen, we raised our taxes 33%. We're taking that on the chin. We're paying this money for these organizations to come in and tell us, you know, the best way to go and to help us manage that. Okay. how is it helping us? You know, where do we stand this month as far as our debt, you know, what unpaid bills are, what our debt services are? And in 6 months, if you bring it out and it's $1.2 million less or a couple hundred thousand dollars less, you know, at least people see progress and could go, okay, we're headed in the right direction. But as of right now, when I look at December 2024 and today, you know, we've increased our debt. We're taking on more because you have to spend to get out of it. And a lot of people are having trouble buying that.
I agree with you 100%. They borrowed money a few different times during their first year last year. I think they've driven up our debt, like you just said. They're spending money. They've created new positions, hired people. They filled every position possible over at the prison. They spent so much money. I don't know. And again, this is my only hope is PFM is going to say, you're going the wrong way.
Well,
here,
didn't
folks.
PFM say we should have a hiring freeze?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes.
Someone's not listening, Commissioner.
Well, right. Yeah. Tell me about it. And so when did the hiring freeze stop? As soon as they implemented the 33% tax increase. I mean, like, it just doesn't stop. They've never saved a penny. They shift things around. They said they canceled the health department, saved $4 million. No, they didn't. They shifted everybody from the health department over to Health and Human Services. We still own the building. Everybody's still getting paid. We didn't save any money. It's costing us more money. So there's so many things that what they say and what is really what happening, it's the total opposite. So I and that's what I said. You know, I know Bob Cadero's mad because I voted for this. I was like, well, I'm doing the best I can. It's me against the county. If PFM says some things that I agree with, which they have been, then that's I have them on my side. So, you know, this is all I have to go with at this point. And I hope that when they come up with the second report on where we can cut and save, that they're going to follow it. You know, that's the key right there.
Yeah, and again, I want to correct you. I don't think it's you against the county. I get messages from plenty of people in the county who are with you. It's you against county members who are gaining from this, who always tend to gain from this type of thing. So let's make that clear.
Correct.
So you have your reassessment town hall on Monday, May 12th at 5:30. Doors open at 5 o'clock. And come, and if you think you may have an avenue to lessen your tax burden, I would go there and listen to what these experts have to say. Commissioner, thanks for joining us today.
Yep. And remember, it's all free, so thank you.
Okay, no doubt. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. On this day, we're going to start off with police officer Gary Frank Skirsky, Philadelphia Police Department in 2006. He was shot and killed while responding to an armed robbery call at a cafe near the intersection of Arich and Adams Avenues. A patron in the cafe had called 911 to report a robbery. As the officer who was working overtime detail for the department responded to the scene, as he approached the door, he was confronted by a suspect who was exiting the cafe. The suspect immediately opened fire, striking Officer Kursky in the neck, and then fled on foot. The officer was transported to Temple University Hospital, where he succumbed to his wounds just before midnight. Next, we have Sergeant John Marion Thomas, Pennsylvania State Police in 1927, was killed when his patrol vehicle became involved in a three-car collision on Ridge Pike, just west of Jeffersonville, Montgomery County. Sergeant Thomas was thrown from the vehicle and died. He was a veteran of both the U.S. Army and the U.S. Marine Corps and served with Pennsylvania State Police for only 2 months and was survived by his brother. And police officer William Weiss, Philadelphia Police Department in 1910, was run over by a chariot at the Barnum and Bailey Circus at the showgrounds at 19th Street and Huntington Park Avenue as he rescued three children who were about to be struck by it. He was able to push the three children to safety, but sustained fatal injuries when he was struck by the chariot. He was transported to Samaritan Hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries. He had served with the Philadelphia Police Department in the 36th District for 22 years, survived by his wife and six children. And those are our three from today in our area. Got a lot of text messages. Have some text messages chiming in about the Commissioner Chermak's town hall on Monday. So doors open at 5 or at 5:30, saying they don't know how much it would help them. But if you are a veteran, if you are a senior, if you have land that could be considered a farmstead or clean and green, there are avenues to lessen your tax bill that you may not know about. You may meet a certain acreage for your property to where you can register your property for clean and green. Now, it does limit some of the potential as far as building or subdividing or transferring other lots to family. But if you would just plan on keeping the land as it is, you know, Clean and Green is a great program in Pennsylvania. There are also some others. So if that's the case, plus maybe just connecting with other residents that are going through the same thing that you do to get together and maybe coordinate to go to a county commissioner's meeting and tell them how you feel about this process. Because everything I'm seeing about these informal appeals with Tyler Technology and everything else going on with it, it's extremely poorly done. And the taxpayer deserves a voice here. It's 4:40 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? We got some key events today. 1945, victory in Europe, VE Day. Germany's unconditional surrender marked the end of World War II in Europe. President Harry S. Truman announced the victory, leading to widespread celebrations across the U.S. and allied nations. We're going to go back in time a little bit. 1541. Yes, 1541. Discovery of the Mississippi River. Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto became the first European to reach the Mississippi River, a milestone in exploration of North America. 1846, the Battle of Palo Alto. General Zachary Taylor led U.S. forces to victory against the Mexican Army in Texas, initiating the Mexican-American War. That was 1846. 1886, the invention of Coca-Cola. Dr. John Sith Pemberton served the first Coca-Cola in Atlanta, Georgia, originally marketed as a medicinal tonic. And yes, it did have real cocaine in it. 1886 for the first Coca-Cola. 1914, well, that's what this weekend is about, the establishment of Mother's Day. The U.S. Congress passed a resolution designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day, honoring mothers nationwide. That was 1914. 1973, the conclusion of the Wounded Knee occupation, the 71-day standoff between federal authorities and members of the American Indian Movement in Wounded Knee, South Dakota, ended. That was 1973. Some notable birthdays on this day, May 8th. We have David Attenborough. 1926, renowned British broadcaster and natural historian, celebrated for his documentary work in the natural world. I don't think the distinctive voice of him is something else, especially growing up in our time. Enrique Iglesias. What the hell's Enrique? Enrique Iglesias. I just lost Jake. Jake's gone. Enrique Iglesias, 1975, Spanish-American singer and songwriter, known for his contributions to the Latin pop music. And listen, that's a joke between my wife and I. There's actually a movie, I forget which movie it is at this point, where she brings home the boyfriend, and his name is Enrique. Oh, you know what it is? It's the Christmas movie. Christmas with the Cranks. That's what it is. Christmas with the Cranks. The daughter brings home her boyfriend from Peru named Enrique. And the dad goes, "What's Enrique?" So it's an ongoing joke between us. Probably don't find it funny, but Jake found it funny. He laughed when I first said it. Tony Tennille, 1940. American singer, pop, part of the duo Captain and Tennille. Famous for hits in the 1970s. What do we have? Some recent developments today. 2025 designation of May 8th as Victory Day. Former President and current President Donald Trump announced May 8th as Victory Day, commemorative and allied victory to Europe during World War II. This move has sparked discussion about historical accuracy and significance of existing commemorations like Veterans Day. And 80th anniversary reflections, the 80th anniversary of VE Day. Today's the 80th anniversary, not just the anniversary, but the 80th anniversary. And that generation is something special, and they always will be. Somebody texted in that it is Alex Van Halen's birthday today. Jake, if that's true, you got to cue something up, right? Alex Van Halen, maybe a little, yeah, like that. You know what I'm saying. See, that's the conversations we have during the day. We hand signals, funny sounds, and stuff like that. So that's today in history. I also got a message from somebody who says the PA State Prison has a program where it gives inmates who wants Suboxone. And that's the methadone of today. It's the new version of methadone. If you're on heroin, if you're on opiates or stuff like that, instead of giving you methadone, they give you the Suboxone. And it costs the state over $110 million a year with daily add-ons. The prisoners often say that it's harder to get off than meth. But we're closing prisons but dealing drugs to the prisoners in our state prisons now. There's got to be a better option. And listen, like I said, I've been there. And I had a couple texters chime in that agreed with me that stopping oxycodone, it was more painful than actually the pain caused by the surgeries. And if it wasn't for me and a lot of other people, I'm not saying that I did anything extraordinary. It's just I was hyper aware of the dangers working in the law enforcement field, working in narcotics, working in the New York City subway systems, seeing heroin addicts with needles in their arms deceased in that. You know, I know what it does. And when I broke my neck and I had my neck fused and such like that, that was the go-to for such. I mean, and believe me, the pain was something I cannot describe. The pain was something that I could not even put into words to you. And I was getting paralyzed. And if I didn't have the surgery. So that's why it necessitated the surgery on that medicine. But every couple of days, every 3 or 4 days, I would stop it for a couple of days, at least 48 hours to make sure I could. And it felt like crap. And then the pain would build up and I would start taking the medicine again. And then I'd feel good. And then I'd say, hey, okay, I got to cut it out. And then I'd feel like crap. And that back and forth, the feeling of like crap started to override the pain I was feeling from the surgery. So I just got off of it and said, hey, you got to give me something less. Take these. I don't want these. Get rid of them. Gave me something less. Okay, this is a little better, but I'm still going to stop it every so often. Okay, I think I could deal with something less now. And I weeded myself down. But if it wasn't for me going there saying, hey, I want something that's less potent. I want something that's less addictive. Till finally, it was just high doses of a mix of basically Tylenol and Naproxen. And, that's where it ended us up. That's where it ended me up. So if you're having such thing, listen, I'm not saying don't follow your doctor's instructions, but be hyper aware of who you are. Some of us have more addictive tendencies than others. You know, if you're a recovering alcoholic or you're recovering from anything, you know, it just shows your propensity to get addicted to stuff. Could be gambling, could be anything. Monitor yourself because you are your first responder. And it's as simple as that. It's 4:53 here at WILK. We'll be back. There you go. For all the Alex Van Halen fans out there, happy birthday to Alex Van Halen. See, Jake knew what I was saying. I just have to say a couple of... See, I got it going on. Let's go to the phone now. We have Joe from Berwick on oxycodone. Joe.
Oh, yeah. Rob, listen, you know what I did for a living, and I saw this firsthand, and it's absolutely outrageous. They started doing this right before I retired. And the very predictable result, of course, that anybody with the brain in their head would have told them is that they would call the inmates up to medical and they would give them you know, this drug, I forget which one it was. The one they were giving him was like a
Suboxone.
I think it was something.
Yeah, Suboxone.
Yeah, but, and it was, I think it was administered like on a piece of paper or something of that sort. But they started giving it to the inmates, and sure enough, the inmates would find a way to not actually take the whole thing, and then they were bringing it down and selling it down in the housing units. Now, you know, the reason we're at this point, and it's costing a fortune, like you said, with everything involved, it's costing the Pennsylvania taxpayer to do this nonsense. And one of the reasons why is because we don't have a legislator and a governor who understand what their constitutional duties are, and they'll allow judges to come along and make these decisions and say, oh, no, see, you have to give it to the inmate. He's addicted. No, you don't, because that judge doesn't have the authority to levy taxation and spending on the people of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you know what's sad? The state will pay for methadone and Suboxone, but the Medicare won't pay for all the treatment for cancer drugs for seniors.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is what we're at, and this is what we're doing at why we're at where we're at as a country, is they'll find judges who come along and say this stuff, and even though they have no authority to say this is how you spend money. Under our Constitution, they can't make those, you know, decisions, but they do. And like you said, when these cowardly legislators and governors who won't challenge this go along with it, it ends up, you know, costing a fortune. And it's exactly like you said. What about the working people? They're not getting what they need with their health care.
Yep, children's diabetes medication, EpiPens, cancer medication for our seniors, all cost a fortune. But yet you get your free drugs in prison if you need them. Joe, I have to leave it there because I'm up against the 5 o'clock hour. I appreciate your call, my friend.
Yep, thank you, Rob.
Thank you. It is truly disgraceful, and that was a text messenger sent that in for me. It is truly disgraceful, and we need to do better. It's coming up on the 5 o'clock hour here on WILK News Radio. We'll see you in a bit.